Welcome to the Whiskey Congress. Honest, open talk dedicated to speaking the truth to those who are open to hearing it. Black, white, right, left. Most importantly, honest, bold, and fueled by good whiskey. In Whiskey Veritas, we are Whiskey Congress. Join the evolution.
Whiskey Congress is back in session. We have not been invaded by the people who invaded the other houses of Congress, so I guess we got that going for us. But to say it's been a wild week would be an understatement to top all understatements. Steve and I are together in the Cleveland studio, which is a good thing, so good to see you, man. Wow. So Trump has been impeached again.
Record.
Congratulations. You are now the most impeached president, and you did it in one term. Mm-hmm. A lot of guys would rest on their laurels. They get impeached once, and they're like, I'm waiting until my second term to get impeached. But no, you realize you weren't getting the second term? Well, I think you've realized that now. And you've been impeached again. I've heard all kinds of shit about that means he can't ever run for office again. I don't think that's accurate unless he gets convicted.
So I'll explain it. So impeachment doesn't bar him from office, and being convicted doesn't bar him from office. Barring him from office after the conviction would require a separate vote. But that vote doesn't come unless he's impeached or unless he's convicted, in the Senate. So that's why I'm, that's the kind of impetus behind it. Okay. And that's why I wanted this to happen very quickly. You know, on our last show, I said, I want them to impeach him. I want to bury him, all that stuff. Right. And very emotional filled because I'm a passionate guy. I'm somewhat patriotic, and just what I saw was just completely unnerving. And my view on impeaching him hasn't changed. I think that they need to do it. I think, and they have at least impeached him, but I think that they need to move quickly or I wanted them to move quickly to get him convicted. And Mitch McConnell, being a very smart guy who's been around a long time. He made the right move. I think Mitch McConnell wants to see Trump convicted. I think Mitch McConnell wants him barred. I think Mitch McConnell wants Trump out of it, right? Like, Mitch McConnell operates much better in a situation where someone's not constantly, having the spotlight shown on what Republicans and the GOP are doing, right? Because, Trump brought so much attention to every move that they made. People have not liked Mitch McConnell forever, but his presence from a national standpoint really didn't explode until, I would say, the whole thing with Obama and the Supreme Court nomination. And then once Trump got elected, and he's a Senate, as a Senate majority leader, it really blew up. So I think Mitch McConnell is using this as an out, right? He doesn't want to be responsible for convicting Trump and barring him, but he wants it to be on Chuck Schumer so it doesn't, because if he's got a chance at becoming Senate Majority Leader again, then he feels that he can't follow through with this in terms of being, allowing the conviction to happen and everything else. But if it's on Chuck Schumer's watch, then...
Chuck Schumer's not a shoo-in. I hope he is not the Senate Majority Leader.
Okay, well, he's going to be.
We'll see. I'm not offering a headbang.
We all know I don't like him. I mean, I literally called him fucking Count Chocula, so I'm no fan of Chuck Schumer. But I don't foresee anyone overtaking him for Senate Majority Leader. Now, with Trump and the impeachment, the reason why I've been so adamant about this being rushed through. And people, you can't rush this process. Bitch, they rushed through a fucking Supreme Court nominee. Stop with that. I mean, they did that in 45 minutes. I don't even want to hear about, you're rushing it. But my concern is that looking at the Constitution, it is not clear. There's no precedent in this. There's no precedent, and it's not clear what the move is here. And anyone who tells you that it's clear is full of shit. I don't care if it's the most world-renowned constitutional scholar. It is not clear in our Constitution what can stand here. And so what I mean by that is if they've already impeached him, if they convict him, Once we're past the inauguration and he's out of office, does the Senate actually have standing to still convict a president who's no longer sitting?
Right. Right.
There's one case, maybe two. There's one case from like 1776 where your Secretary of War was impeached for basically, it was corruption, long story short. And they impeached him. He resigned before they could convict him, but they've still voted after he was out to bar him from running from office, right? Like, so that's our only, now that's 1876.
Right.
And so the question then, because I don't think this has been handled by the Supreme Court, and I've been busy at my, you know, job.
Actual job, yeah.
So I haven't had a chance to dig into it, and this is not something that you probably figure out quickly, but I'm not sure if the Supreme Court has actually tackled this issue, right, of actually, you know, convicting someone after they're out, after they're removed from office, right, or after they're out of office or whatever it might be, right, whether it's a resignation, sure. or the person is just, their time has actually run out. And if they can, right, then ultimately it's going to, this is a political issue, it's a political question, so the Senate is going to have to define what their standing is. Right, and they're basically going to have to set the precedent, because I don't believe that the Supreme Court is going to jump in and say you can or can't do this. And I'm not 100% sure that the Supreme Court settles it after the fact.
Do you think it matters? Because I don't.
It matters. It depends on. It matters because you need to figure out if you got the Senate on board to do this or not.
Right, but even if they impeach him after he's out of office.
He's already been impeached.
I'm sorry. So the question they convict him after he's out of office. So what?
I mean, you convict him. Like, the whole point.
I know that means he can't run again.
No. The whole point of convicting him after is to have the vote to bar him from running from office again. That is the key. Right? Otherwise, this is pointless. But the whole point, strategically, me personally, politically, the whole point is, look, there's got to be a price to pay for your actions, Donald Trump.
Yes.
Now, people will say, well, he didn't, how can you say pay for his act? He didn't incite the riot. He didn't tell them to breach the barriers. He didn't tell them to go after this person. He didn't specifically say, go attack, hunt, hurt these police officers and blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. First of all, really, are we going to say that's the bar, right? I mean, if you go through and looked at some of the federal convictions that we've had, you know, people have been sent away to prison on a hell of a lot less, right? So the idea that we're going to lower the bar even more for the president of the United States, get the fuck out of here. So, you know, no, he didn't specifically say go do X, Y, and Z. But you look at his comments, you look at his statements, you look at his tweets, you know, telling people that they need to come to Washington, D.C. on January 6th and they need to fight. Right,
and the weak will only the strong will
only
get
the strong will survive, and
hopefully Mike Pence does the right thing.
Yes, all and you're just like, oh well, that's not specifically saying, like, look, you put it all together, you put it together in context, and you look at what was happening on Parler, you look at the fact that the president was looking at what was happening on Parler. He knew what people were saying. He knew that people were talking about arming themselves, coming to the Capitol. Multiple references of the Civil War. Well, we don't know for sure that the president was looking at Parler. Oh, we don't. Okay. Well, here's the deal. Let me go ahead and subpoena Parler's records, and then I'm gonna pull the president's phone. And then it doesn't take, like, in this technology age, it's not hard to figure out what people are looking at. And so, if you really think that the president isn't on Parler and doesn't have access to it, then you're insane. So he's not gonna have someone else download it and have them read it to him.
Right.
We know him, right? Like, so subpoena his phone, grab his records, and I guarantee you he could see what was happening on Parler. So if you can prove that he was looking at what was going on there, where it was more than evident that people were talking about violence and hurting people, and you know, I mean, they brought a hangman's galley noose and all that other shit. You know, you had people that came armed. with thousands of rounds of ammunition, saying that they were going to put a hole in Pelosi's head, a bullet hole in Pelosi's head, and maybe go put another bullet hole in the mayor's head.
And hang Mike Pence, by the way.
And hang Mike Pence because he didn't do something that he had no power to do under any document, authority, constitution, anywhere. All of this promulgated by lies and
spin, just disinformation,
fantasy, disinformation, fake news, right? from Trump directly, and you know all of his surrogates and talking heads and people like Jim Jordan and Dan Crenshaw. And Dan Crenshaw is one of the people who, the more I think about it, becomes less and less forgivable in all of this, right? He pushes the idea that there was all this election fraud that happens, right? He's a former soldier. They stormed our Capitol, the building in which you're in, right, as a legislator,
right?
And you're nowhere to be found, right? Like, you're a soldier. You took an oath to defend this country against any enemy, foreign or domestic, and they were on your ground storming your Capitol, and you were nowhere to be found. You were hiding with everybody else. He should have been out there telling those people to stop. Or if you believe everything that you've been saying about the election being a fraud and the election being a lie, then you should have been out there with them.
Yeah, fair. Look, I've been charitable to Dan Crenshaw in the past, and I think that's probably why you're specifically bringing him up. But that's
no, I'm not. I didn't necessarily like everything he said in the past, but I thought, you know what, this guy can be reasonable, and it goes back to his interaction with the guy I really don't like,
Pete Davidson
on SNL, right? I hate Pete Davidson. I think he's a shitbag. But I thought what they did, I thought that was a good thing that they did, where they kind of came together to settle their differences. And then Dan Crenshaw's basically gone downhill from there. I don't know if that situation got to his head or whatever, but he just became another talking head for Trump.
No, I agree with that. What I said about him in the past was I thought he had integrity, even though I thought his opinions were foolish. One thing I want to, just to back up what you said, all the people saying it's being rushed through, well, the last impeachment took 2 months. Why is this one taking 2 days? Because we don't need to bring hundreds of witnesses out there to make a case. We heard what the fucking president said. He said it flat out to everyone, heard it. So they were impeaching him based on his actions and the events that occurred because of it. So don't give me this whole, why did the other one take so long? Because here's the videotape. Shut the fuck up. It happened.
Yeah, I mean, it's... So
we didn't know what happened on the phone call until it got investigated. We knew this.
Right. I mean, and the phone call was pulled and locked and thrown away in a safe, basically, and made confidential. So, you know, and you had to kind of put it all together for everyone because we weren't all privy as to what was going on behind the scenes, where this, like you said, was happening, you know, for everyone to see, basically because that's what Trump wanted, right? He wanted everyone to hear what he had to say, and he wanted everyone to know, and he wanted to get his message out to as many people as possible. So that's why every time he was on TV, when he was on social media, everything, that's why he kind of took the path that he took. And it's clearly coming back to bite him.
Yeah, and fuck him.
Right. I mean, I you know.
So with regards to the, you know, attack on the Capitol, there's a lot of people saying, people who went to the Capitol and had bad things happen, you know, got fired, got called out, got arrested. It's, you know, my First Amendment right. Well, A, no, it's not. You don't understand what the First Amendment is. And I'm saying this badly because two different things are happening here. The people who got charged with things after the event weren't charged or didn't lose their jobs or weren't in trouble because of going to D.C. It's because they attacked our Capitol. And
well, I think let's...
We'll separate the two.
Let's slow down.
I'm sorry, I
slow down a little bit. Now there are people who have been seen on film, who were there at the protest, who've been fired, who lost their job. There's an argument to say that's not fair. It may not be fair, but there's nothing to stop a private company from saying, you know what, you're on TV, you're screaming, you're yelling, it's a bad look for us. You know, this is a, you know,
you represent us.
You represent us. Don't care whether you're, you know, like in any employment contract that you sign. You know, like there's a clause in there that says, you know, even when you're off duty or when you're not working with us, you have a responsibility to be responsible. Remember that you're our employee. That's why, you know, people get, you know, are so kind of private about their social media, right? Like, they don't want certain things to be out there, sure, because people have been fired for the shit that they say on social media. This is no different, right? And we'll get to the social media
aspect.
It's
actually worse, but...
Right, we'll get to this, the social media aspect of this in a second. But, you know, people, oh, I was on my own private time. That's fine, but listen, you were on camera, right? Like, the world had seen you. You work for, you know, ABC company. We don't like that look. You're an at-will employee, you know, so we don't have, like, we don't have to give you a good reason to fire you. We agree this is a bad reason, but we no longer need your services. Goodbye. You know, I mean, and that's just it. So in terms of losing your job for just being at something, it's not ideal, right? But I mean, from a constitutional standpoint, you don't really have any protection. You know, from an employment law standpoint,
unless
a labor standpoint, unless you're in a union, yes, then you have an argument, you have something to stand on, right? We've got police and firemen who were there, who have been suspended and under investigation, who may lose their job. Now, people are getting up in arms. Oh, they work for the government. First Amendment. Ah, you got to be careful. Here's the deal. The police and firemen who have been fired, right, and whose jobs are in jeopardy, I think the one guy was retired, his pension is in jeopardy, is because they were seen in the Capitol building, right? Once you breach the Capitol building walls and you're inside, right, and you haven't been, you know, escorted in, and you haven't gone through the proper channels to get in, you push your way in, you fought through the police and ran them over, and you've charged the building and breached the walls, and now you're trespassing, yeah, you've now committed a federal crime. Right, so now, yeah, your job is at jeopardy. Once you start committing federal crimes, even if you're a police officer, that tends to get you investigated.
And the idiotic thing here is, apparently a lot of these folks showed up in D.C. and expected the Capitol Police to say, let's walk out in and do this thing.
Because there were Capitol Police who did. Let's not act like they were expected. That's what some of them received. There's plenty of pictures of Capitol Police taking pictures, smiling, and posing with people and protesters. Mind you, this before all hell broke loose.
True.
But the other interesting thing, there was a story out of D.C. of police officers who were involved in this directly, who were mobbed and attacked.
One guy hit by his baton, I saw.
Right. You know, the one guy got tased, you know, and was down on the ground. And fortunately, a group of people, you know, surrounded him. And he said the only thing that he feels that saved his life when he was on the ground, he heard someone say, kill him with his own gun.
I heard that. Yeah.
And he said the only thing that really saved his life was the fact that he started screaming out that he had kids.
Fuck's sake.
Right, the guy is—he's a police officer. He was a plainclothes detective who heard everything going on, so he ran home, threw on his, you know, Capitol Police uniform, went down to help, ends up in a mob, and he says, "Listen, he wanted to pull his gun because he felt his life was in danger, but after doing the analysis, realizing the numbers were against him, no matter, like, he once his clip is empty, let's say he's got a Glock, you know, if he's got a Glock 17, 19, then you got 17 rounds. There were hundreds of people around." You only got to, you know, like, they're right. Still going to get to you, and at some point they may get that thing, that gun from you, and then turn it and use it on you.
I'm sorry to change gears, and I'm throwing a curveball at you, but if North Korea or some other hostile government was trying to make a propaganda video of how fucked up America was, would it be worse than this? Because I don't know how it could be.
I mean, there's so much from the last, I don't know, 2 years. I mean... Yeah, I mean,
this is the cherry on top, though, in terms of...
Yeah, sure. The last 2 years have been a complete and utter clusterfuck.
Agreed.
I mean, between some of the, like, this would be, like, I mean, you would start with the various civil unrest, and this is what you would end with a volcano or atomic bomb explosion in the background with Donald Trump's face and a skeleton and, you know, people fighting, screaming, yelling at... Yeah, yes, absolutely. So, but you know, going back to what did happen, this you know, there are people who are trying to say, oh, it wasn't that bad, oh, they're just the media blowing it out of proportion because, you know, they're progressive left and, you know, like, they're anti this. No, this was bad because there are people who supported Trump, who were pro MAGA, who, you know, want to see the left defeated, who were there, who were saying that this was beyond anything that they imagined bad in terms of the violence and the threat that existed. You know, there's another aspect, we don't have this on the board, but the day before this all breaks out, January 5th, there were certain legislators who gave tours to some of these people who were at this riot the next day. And so the question is, were those legislators who were giving those tours, and they said this is something that's highly irregular and it doesn't make sense that this was even happening, especially given, you know, what was going to happen the next day with the certification and the known threat that was coming. But people are giving tours saying, oh, this is where the votes will be held, and this is where Nancy Pelosi's office is. And this is that, like, so it's very bizarre that that happened. So there's an investigation into that. So now we're talking about the possibility that these people, some of these people, were aided by people in our government.
Yeah, I mean, that's conspiracy to commit something.
Absolutely. And so you have these the layers to this. And look, that's not just, well, you know, they gave these tours and the people broke in. I mean, people, not only did they break in, they knew where to go. And if you've ever been to the Capitol building, right, it's a massive building in and of itself. And, you know, it is a confusing maze, right? Like, you don't just walk in and just say, all right, I'm going to walk through the front door, the north door,
right,
and then I'm going to get to the south door. It's just not going to happen. Right, I mean, it's a giant building, and it's configured very, you know, in a very confusing manner. And the fact that some people, you know, these people were able to go in and they knew where to go to get to people's offices and to get access to some of the places they got access to is very disturbing. Because, you know, if you got people screaming out directions with a bullhorn, right? Come this way, go that way. Right, what are they basing that information off of? You know, like, so where did they get, you know, access to know this? And so there's a lot of unanswered questions here, and my concern is that it's going to get uglier in terms of what really happened and why and how it was able to happen, you know, in terms of the police response, the lack of support from the National Guard, how people were able to get access, you know, the whole idea of conspiracy. It's gonna get uglier before it gets better.
We'll see. And so, quick question: the folks that showed up with the gallows and the noose and, you know, zip tie cuffs and all that shit, they apparently had an intention and had spoken out about murdering people, including Mike Pence, mm-hmm. which is fucking wild. If, you know, Mike Pence has licked Trump's boots for 4 fucking years, and we talked about this a minute ago, so I won't rehash it. Should they be charged with conspiracy to commit murder, or can they be? I love throwing legal shit at you out of the blue. That's what I do.
Conspiracy to commit murder. Man. So I want to say yes, but I feel like we got to be careful here, because...
Let me ask it from a non... from a different angle. If I'm angry at an ex-girlfriend and I find out she's banging some guy that I can't stand, and I grab a gun and I go to his house and I start pounding on the door.
That's different, though.
Is it?
It is. That sort of...
There are other crimes involved in what I just described.
Yes.
But would that be one of them?
Because the same. Okay. It's apples to oranges.
Okay.
You've got... you know, political protest, First Amendment rights. There's any number of defenses. You know, now people who said, I'm coming, you know, the one guy who showed up with multiple rifles and pistols and you know, 2,000 rounds of ammunition with, you know, outgoing text from his hotel saying, you know, I'm looking to put a bullet in Pelosi's head and possibly the mayor. Yeah, that guy's got some legal issues, for sure. Right? Like, there's no doubt about it. You know, the guy who's rappelling down the Senate onto the Senate floor with zip ties, yeah, he's got some problems from a legal standpoint, aside from just getting in there.
Right.
You know, like, he's definitely got some issues. But, like, if you're a person, now, part of the issue is, you know, the gun laws in D.C. are
pretty incredibly strict, yeah.
Right? Like, so, you know, showing up to something like that armed, like, you've already got problems, right? Like, so if they got you and you're armed to the teeth, you're already looking at some pretty heavy charges. I'm going to need very, very specific proof of the intent to commit murder. Like, just having a weapon and being on the grounds isn't enough. And I know that seems like, what the fuck, what else do you need? I need to be able, if I'm going to try, if I'm a prosecutor and I'm going to bring this charge, then I need it to be a slam dunk. I can't lose this case. So I need, now the guy, again, there was, and I'm not making this up. There was a guy who came to, who went to Washington, D.C. with, you know, with multiple semi-automatic rifles, handguns, and 2,500 rounds of ammunition, who texted out, like, I'm going to shoot Nancy Pelosi in the head, and I may go shoot the mayor as well. So that guy, yes, he can, you know, we can go ahead and book that. You know, we can get the, we can get the conspiracy right on the books. Some of the other people, though, who where it's not nearly as explicit, you're going to have to build a, you need to build a case against them. Now, where does that information come from? You comb their social media. You do get their phones. You look at every particular aspect of their ability to communicate to see what messages they were putting out there. And if they said the right things, then yeah, sure. But I can't,
or the wrong things.
Or the wrong things, depending on which side you're on. But if you're, you know, I can't just say just because a person was there with a weapon that I'm going to hit him with a conspiracy to commit murder charge. You know, there's other laws that they broke that, that yeah, could definitely trip them up. But we got to be careful not to, you know, not to overreact.
Okay. I want to talk social media and First Amendment issues, and I know you do as well, because that issue gets dragged all the time. We've talked about this dozens of times, if not more, on this show. People don't seem to fucking get it.
I'm sorry. This is something I got to say.
All right. I'm going to go off in a minute, so...
No. And it goes back to Trump and his incitement of this situation. And people say, how is this different than when Maxine Waters said what she said about confronting people and, you know... and there have been numerous Democrat... You know, a number of Democratic, you know, who have said some pretty shitty things. If you go back, it was pretty hard on Maxine Waters for the shit that she was saying. And I said it was problematic from the get-go. Right? That, you know, telling people to go out and confront other people, if something happens, that's on you. Right?
Sure.
And, I mean, we said that, and that's probably, I don't know, whenever, probably I mean, that's probably, 18 months ago to 2 years ago, when she made those statements, and I was like, nah, you don't want to go down that road. Right? You don't want to go down that road. That ends up causing you more problems than you can solve. It ends up being very problematic. And listen, you know, we can't act like that there aren't fucking psychopaths on the left, right? There are plenty of crazy motherfuckers on the left that think that their cause is the most righteous cause, and they could hurt people, which is why as a public official, you have to be careful with what you say, and you can't put things out there that people can interpret. You were elected. That's the role. Sorry, it sucks that you can't just say whatever you want. But there's fucking consequences. There are consequences to these things that you say, especially when you have the platform that these people have, and you have to be aware of that, right?
Sure.
That was 18 months ago, two years ago, whatever. So now we're here, right? Same thing with Trump. But now, not only did were you saying shit that was incendiary, this happened,
right?
Right, like you almost fucking bring our capital down with the shit that you're saying on every different platform, and people, well, they should have shut. I don't disagree that Maxine Waters should have been censored for the shit that she was saying, right? I don't disagree that some of the people on the left, and I am gonna fucking stand here and say I fucking told you, right? I'm going to sit here and say that I have the standing to attack Trump on this, because it's the same way that I felt about people on the left and Democrats doing the same fucking thing, right? Like, so this is not me ignoring one and calling out the other. I told everyone that they needed to chill with this shit, and no one fucking listens to me, right? Maxine, call me. So, you know, with Trump in this, there's no easy road. Don't give me the shit about unity. Oh, you can't be hard on him because of unity, and if you suspend him on social media now, how are we gonna? No, fuck that. He had his chance, right? He had his chance, and he did, and he decided to make a bad situation worse. So fuck him. I don't care. And everyone talking about, oh, things are gonna get so much worse. Look, if what we saw on January 6th was If what we saw on January 6th was what we have to look forward to in terms of the pending civil war.
Right.
I mean, yeah, I mean, it's all terrible and scary. No one wants violence. But if that's what they're going to give me, a fucking guy in a Buffalo hat and some fat guy who got stuck trying to rappel.
He's not from Buffalo. He's not a Buffalo guy.
Whatever.
I want that on the record.
All right, Buffalo, no one
Bills,
gives a shit.
Bills Mafia.
You know, how many people from Buffalo were there, though? You know, you want some, you know, this fat guy trying to rappel down on the Senate floor with his zip ties. I mean, he's lucky he didn't fucking choke himself. If that's what we have to worry about, then I'm okay with this pending civil war. Yeah, it'll be over pretty quickly. But
it's Buffalo season.
but all that being said, going back to social media, going back to the First Amendment, people saying, oh my God, they censored Trump and he doesn't, his First Amendment rights have been violated. Listen, people, Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, all, Instagram,
Parler,
all
Parler.
Private. Well, Parler, all private.
Yeah.
All private companies, right? They're all private companies. So you, whether it's you, me, Donald Trump, Ivanka Trump, Jesus, whoever it is, you signed their terms of agreement. Go read those terms of agreement, right? And if you can't read them, reach out to me, and I'll break it down to you real simple.
I hope that happens. I hope you get thousands of
No, I'll do it. I'll help you real quick, because I'm not going to read you the whole thing. I'll break it down very simply what it says. What it says is, you're on our platform, right? Once you're on our platform, we own your shit, right? Not only do we own your shit, right? Now, we own it, but we'll let you do with it as you please. But we own it. And at any point in time, if we don't like what you say, we can absolutely shut it down. And we can delete your account, and you can be gone. You don't have a right to social media. These are private companies. You sign up for them, right? You don't have a right to it, no matter what you think, no matter what meme you've read, no matter what someone has lied to you and told you, you don't have a right to social media. They can punt you at any fucking time, right? Like, and those are the terms. And if social, they have too much power.
Yep. Okay.
They sure do.
This is the world.
They sure do. And so do banks. You know what banks have done with Donald Trump? They punted his ass.
They did.
There's not a single person saying they don't have the right to do that. Why? Why? Because they don't look at it the same. But a bank is sitting there saying, you know what? We don't like you. We don't like the way you do business. We don't like the things you've said.
We don't want to associate with you.
We don't want to associate with you. Peace be with you. Get off our fucking platform. Take your money. Oh, wait, you don't have any. Matter of fact, motherfucker, you owe us a lot of money. Now, will they call his... Now, the biggest thing I'm more concerned about with the banks, and sorry, we're getting a little bit sidetracked.
No, it's fine, it's fine.
I am curious what these... Like, Deutsche Bank? Will they call his debts, or will they just... Or, you know, do they negotiate? Do they call his debts, or do they just say it's a wash, right? Because with them, or with any bank, they can say it's a wash, and then they ended up getting it in tax breaks in the end, right? And especially with some of the deals, you know, $500 million,
right?
You know, $100 million here, $20 million there. I mean, these banks would take that, and they would just say, yeah, this is a huge loss, and then they get it back on the back end from a tax standpoint. Kind of what he's been doing all this time, so that would kind of be, you know, apropos. But... and then they could negotiate some form of a settlement, or they could just say, no, fuck you, and go after him.
But how much do they not want the publicity of, here's how much we gave to Donald Trump, we have investors.
And that is why I think that option one of, we're not doing business with you anymore, we're not going to call these debts, but we are going to write them off, but also you can't get money from us anymore. And as those doors close, he's got serious problems, right? Because the other part about that is, when you have a debt like that basically forgiven, right, and they take it as a loss, right, so now he would have to pay taxes on that.
I never thought of that.
Right?
I didn't think about it. Again, you're a lawyer. I'm not. You deal with tax shit all the time.
So, I mean, it just like, I mean, so to them, I mean, like, if they really, like, and again, me being very petty me, you know, at first I would want to call his debt, but then I'm just like, look, this bitch can't pay.
That's another good point.
You know?
He can't pay. I'm going to kill you if you don't come up with the $200,000. You owe me in gambling debts.
Okay.
You're worth $50.
Right. Like, so what have I done now? Right? So
then, risk a murder charge or get $50.
Right. So you just say, all right, fuck it. You know? Like, we'll forgive it. We'll write it off in the end. And, you know, good luck paying the IRS what you owe them. Deuces.
That's awesome, actually. I'm glad you brought that up, and I'm glad you kind of made something light, because I'm about to lose my shit. Because there was a guy...
But I do want to say about the First Amendment and social media companies. So the other thing about social media companies, right? Like, everyone's putting their focus on them.
Right.
They shouldn't be able to do this. Right? We need to get rid of Section 230.
Sure. Okay. Right, see that all the time.
All right? Now, if you want to get rid of Section 230, what Section 230 does is that it protects the social media companies from people being able to sue them for what other people say on their platforms. Right? Right. I mean, that's the crux of it, right? There's more to it than that. But that's the big thing that everybody's got their panties up in a bunch about. Okay. So here's the deal. We can go ahead and remove that if you want. But what do you think these social media companies do when all of a sudden they become liable for what you say?
They shut everybody down who even tiptoes by the line.
So if you think that this shit that they're doing right now is authoritative, is restricting you say, ooh, child. Man, and
wait till they get a load of me.
Wait till they get a load of me. And wait till they change that term. Because you think the terms, most of y'all don't even know what your terms of service are when you sign up with these motherfuckers. Right? I've read them all.
I believe you have, because right? You do that. I don't.
Let me tell you, the shit is wild. Like, it's actually fucking wild what is in these things, what they can and what they can do. Right? But if you think that shit is something, wait until you remove their ability to wait till you remove the shield that protects them. Man, you...
Saturday Night Live did a skit years ago where the devil shows up and like, remember those terms of agreement?
Yes.
I wrote those.
Right. I mean, like, you're going to have fucking Facebook police show up at your house. Right? I mean, like, you guys don't know what the fuck you're asking for. You think that, you know, because Donald Trump said it, y'all need to stop listening to Donald Trump. I don't know how many times we've said it over the last however many years. But everyone's, Trump said get rid of 230. We need to get rid of 230. And now everyone's just like, well, yeah, they're right. These social media companies have too much power. Okay, yeah, they do. The problem is that you, the banks approved it.
But you give them that power.
We gave them the power. We gave it to them.
As users of it.
Right. Like, the only way you get rid of it is if everyone agrees, like, fuck them, and shuts down, right? Yeah. And deletes their account.
I'm done with Facebook. I'm a Zuckerberg fan. I've been booed for that, whatever. But I stand by that.
The reality is, though, listen, besides that, the power of social media goes beyond just your ability to talk and say things, right?
Sure.
There's also the fact that it's intertwined into our commerce, into our economy. How many small businesses absolutely get crushed, destroyed, go away if at any point in time these social media companies say, you know what, we're not doing that anymore, right? Like, your ability to advertise, your ability to reach people, all that stuff. If we all say, you know what, screw social media, we all agree as a world, we say fuck these companies, then there are a lot of small businesses that absolutely disappear.
Sure.
Overnight. Because how do they reach people?
Especially ones that rely on, you know, beyond local sales.
Right, like, exactly.
You know, if you're a cigar shop in Cleveland.
If you happen to have a cigar accessory company, right?
Exactly. It's a cigar shop probably doesn't affect that much.
Right.
Cigar accessory company that's trying to sell stuff around the world.
Right. If you have a drop shipping cigar accessory company where, you know, you get the goods from a vendor and then you promote them and then the vendor, you know, fulfills your orders, right? And you promote on Facebook and Instagram and all that other stuff.
Which
you have to do if you want to make any money worth a damn. These social media companies are directly tied to everything that we do, right? So, yeah, they have too much power, and we gave it to them willingly, and so did our government. And now we need to rein them in. I'm sorry, but you can't. There are companies that have grown too big to be able to really rein in and control, and you can try to put restrictions on them. You can try to do it. We've tried to do it with the banks, and the banks just keep saying, you know what? We're still just going to take everybody's money, and we're still going to tell you to go fuck off. We're going to do it in a really nice way. We're going to put Jamie Dimon out there to say how things are looking great, and they're doing this thing for the black community, and they're doing this for women, and they're doing that. But at the end of the day, they're still raking in billions and billions and billions of dollars, way more money than any one company should, and there's not a fucking thing you could do about it. And we gave them that power, and we've done the same thing with social media companies, and you could try. I'm willing to look at anything that you guys want to do, but understand, for every action, there is a reaction, right? And you can do what you want to do, but you may not like the outcome when it's done. You think it's bad now, it could get a lot fucking worse real quick because of something that you wanted, you asked for.
Right.
So go ahead. right? Go ahead. Do what you want to do. Do what you got to do. Look, I'm good, right? Like, listen, as a lawyer, I'm good, right? I'll be able to make money any day of the fucking week. Y'all go ahead and keep fucking with social media and see what happens.
Did you bring up Jamie Dimon just because you knew that's a trigger for me or no?
Sure
you
did.
Bitch.
Sure did.
All right. So I want to talk about a First Amendment issue that I'm going to try to keep cool over. There was a guy who was, I saw a headline, man wearing Camp Auschwitz shirt.
One more interjection.
Okay.
Have you read the First Amendment?
Yeah.
When's the last time you read it?
Government shall pass no law infringing upon the right. It's been a while since I've read
right
it specifically.
To a symbol. Okay.
Yeah, but government shall pass no law.
Okay. So you know more than a lot of people who are complaining about their First Amendment rights.
Yes, we have the Constitution in this room right now.
Just wanted to make sure.
It's a small print in my eyes. I just wanted to make sure. And it's underneath an English-made gun.
Jim,
which is
you
a
have
awkward.
A fucking cheat code right there. Use it. But my point is there are a lot of people who are very upset about all the First Amendment rights that are being infringed upon and blah, 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 yada, yada. That's fine. You can say whatever you want to say. Free speech, First Amendment. Okay, just read the document, please, people. Just read it, right? Just read it and know what it says. And then think about what you're trying to say. Think about what you're so upset about. Read the document. Think about what you're going to say and understand that maybe not everything is in that first amendment, right? Like, listen, I'm not saying that we don't have legitimate complaints and legitimate arguments. We do. But if you want to fix it, you need the right tools to fix it. And just saying, well, this is First Amendment, just because it involves words,
right,
doesn't necessarily mean that that's that right avenue. That's the way that we get this resolved. You want to deal with the social media companies, it's going to require oversight and it's going to require legislation, but it's not tied to the first fucking amendment.
Right. And as intuitive as the authors of the Constitution and the First Amendment were, they really didn't see social media coming. But the one thing I want to go down is there was a guy at the protest that I saw a headline that said man wearing Camp Auschwitz shirt arrested. And then I read the article. He was not arrested for wearing a shirt that said Camp Auschwitz work makes you free, which I find that to be one of the most disgusting shirts I've ever seen. Having gone to a museum at Dachau in Germany, which was a work camp, and I only use the word work camp because Auschwitz was that much worse. Auschwitz is where you got sent when they expected you to die or they were going to kill you. So as bad as what I saw at Dachau was, Auschwitz was that much more disgusting. And this cocksucker is wearing a shirt gloating about Auschwitz, which is so fucking revolting. The idea that someone would print that shirt disgusts me. The idea that someone would wear it and wear it in public is unbelievable to me. I don't know how. I'm going to try to do my normal, let me give this guy a break, and maybe he's just an ignorant piece of shit who shouldn't be allowed to walk outside without a... this infuriates me. But let me say this.
You should be. I'm just saying, you know.
He should not be arrested for wearing that shirt in America. He was not arrested for wearing that shirt in America. He was arrested because of being identified by that scumbag shirt and entering the Capitol building, which he should be arrested for. Now, oddly, in Germany, if he wore that shirt, he would get arrested. Because in Germany, you cannot prominently display Nazi paraphernalia and glorify the Third Reich, which I am also fine with, by the way.
Man, the timing and phrasing of that is sounding bad if someone were to cut it up. Glorifying of the Third Reich, which I'm fine with. I'm just
No.
I know. I'm just saying that's how things kind of get twisted.
I'm saving the audio, so if I ever run for office, you get, I love the Third Reich. No, I did not say that. But this infuriates me so much. When I went to the camp at Dachau, and I hope I don't sound like that asshole that tries to sound like he's speaking Spanish to the guy at the Mexican restaurant, but that changed my life. It exposed me to things that I frankly didn't understand about the Second World War and the Nazi regime.
Until you see it up close.
Until you see it up close. Mm-hmm. And at the time, you know, I was reading the Reichstag's fire decree, and I won't nerd out too bad, But it was right after the Patriot Act, or not long after the Patriot Act got invoked. And I went, holy fuck, this is the same thing. So I was literally shaken as an American, because the Patriot Act basically allowed the government can suspend rights if you are a threat to the country. And that's what the Reichstag's fire decree said, and that's what the Patriot Act said. And it was terrifying. I was sitting there reading it in that concentration camp museum, and it was just, this happened 20 years ago, and I still think about it fairly regularly. And this piece of shit walking around D.C. with that on his shirt, claiming to be a fucking patriot, can eat so many dicks and die. I'm going to stop because I'm about to lose my fucking mind. Fuck him.
I
burn it.
I don't know how many dicks you have to eat to die. But
how many licks of a Tootsie Roll? Fuck him. Let's find out. All right. No shit.
But, again, free speech, you can say it. But you can wear it.
He's got the right to wear the shirt? Sure. Fine. But fuck you.
Right. But I think that guy was seen on camera in the Capitol building.
He was, absolutely. Right. So, that's why he got arrested. Yes, it was because of that. So he got identified because of that. He wasn't arrested because of that.
Yes.
And I respect that we live in a country where you are allowed to be a piece of shit.
But you just don't. But you got to be careful here.
All right.
And the only reason I'm saying that is part of the I don't know how to explain it, but the plan or the mission or the campaign is to do exactly what's happening, right? And it's to distract. And I don't mean this guy who wore that shirt. That guy wore that shirt because, like you said, he's a piece of shit. But the reality is that there's an element that very much has a controlling ability or control over what's going on. You want to call it QAnon or whoever. And what they're doing is they're deflecting, right? It's not like for some of this, like a lot of this starts at a source, right? Whether it's Parler, Reddit, 4chan. And this whole argument that, well, he's got a First Amendment right to wear that shirt, that's deflection. It's pure and simple deflection. It's not, you know, now once it filters to, you know, Jim Bob down the street, you know, who says, oh, he's got First Amendment rights. Yes,
he does.
Yes, that guy, yeah, yes, the guy does. But the person who, I guarantee you, originally starts this argument of, oh, it's, they're violating his First Amendment rights. You guys should make sure you point that out, right? Like, that's happening intentionally to one, sure, get a reaction out of, sure, you, and to deflect from the fact that this guy committed a federal crime, right? Once he crossed the threshold into the Capitol building, that was his crime. He was easily identified, right, by what, right, he chose to wear.
Sure.
Right? So he makes himself stand out.
Expressed that poorly, I apologize.
No. Okay. But what I'm saying is, it's your reaction is the appropriate reaction to someone. Yeah, you're wearing the loser's flag, but then you bring it to our Capitol.
Yes.
Right, so I don't understand how that in and of itself shouldn't be seen as an act of war. Right? You're wearing the enemy you're wearing the enemy's colors into our home. So I see that as literally an act of war. Which is probably why it's a good idea that I'm not a Capitol Police officer or Secret Service, because I'm just like, look, I got an Uzi, I'm using it. But that being said, your reaction isn't wrong, and nothing you're saying is wrong or inappropriate or poorly expressed. But I just want to point out that this is like, there's lots of levels to this, and there's more at play here than just ignorance. There are people out there who are controlling the message, right? They're putting shit out there for a reason. They want people to say things like, that guy has his, you know, he's getting his First Amendment rights violated. People saying, you know, Trump's First Amendment rights are violated. Trump is the president of the United States. He can put out a press conference anytime he wants. And the entire world Well, yes, but also the entire world can see him speak when he wants. He is not censored by any stretch of the imagination. He can walk outside and there will be 100 cameras with microphones in his face. So for people to say he's being his rights are being restricted in any way, shape, or form, you are an idiot. I am saying that directly to you, and you need to think about what if you're saying that his rights have been impacted in any fucking way, just stop. Right? Like, there's a gif of Denzel Washington slamming the door in a guy's face from what do you call it? And I've been using it a lot lately. Right? Like, just don't even, we're done. Right? You're going to sit here and tell me that the President of the United States is being censored and he doesn't have access to, well, he could reach more people. Like, and the other thing is, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but Twitter is the fourth most used social media platform out there. Right? It's the fourth. It's
behind Facebook and Instagram and
YouTube.
Okay.
Right?
I didn't know. I wasn't trying to quiz you.
It's actually ahead of Instagram. There's a couple other there are more messaging services that
Snapchat
are
Snapchat kind of thing. Or,
no, all right. No. Don't guess. Okay. But it's the fourth, maybe even the fifth used. Now there's a couple in China, and that's they jump in there to kind of deflect from this.
Having a billion people in your country helps.
Yeah, it always that helps when you have those type of numbers. But the reality is that. You know, people always say, I got shut down on Twitter. How am I going to access the world? First of all, there's other platforms, now not for Trump, because they all booted him.
Right.
But for Trump, the difference between him and you is that, again, he can walk outside and literally just say, hey, I'm going to have a press conference, and everyone in the world is going to be able to, if you have a television, a computer, a cell phone, a radio, you can hear and see what Trump has to say.
He literally has the biggest pulpit in the world.
In the fucking world, right? Not just the free world, the whole world.
Right.
So, that argument is absolutely ridiculous, but where do you think it's coming from, right? Like, it's not a complete lack of understanding. It's intentional.
Sure.
Right? Just to create the mess so people have the conversation and they're distracted from the actual issue at hand.
I want to say one quick thing. And then hopefully we get away from Trump. I'll give you the last word. But the QAnon shaman, they've released the guy's name. I've seen it. I don't give a fuck. The douchebag with the buffalo suit and the
got a fake name like Jake Angelini
or something like that. They've released
and
both.
Got, and then he's got a real name.
He's trying to be an actor. I have heard this. I don't know if it's true. But I've heard that he refused to eat the food that he's being served in jail because it wasn't organic.
Yes.
And a judge
conceded and said, you got to feed them organic food.
All right. We've talked about times like this defines white privilege in the past. Checkmate, bitch.
Right.
I mean, fucking, are you kidding me?
Right.
I'm in jail for storming the fucking Capitol, but I'm not going to eat your jail food because it's not organic.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, don't. You have the right to not eat.
Now, listen, I mean, if some of the organic food that's out there, it's just like, I don't know if that was a good call. I mean, so
that's a different discussion.
But yeah, I mean, but they definitely.
This
I mean,
guy,
that's,
you know,
right.
Eat it. I said eat a dick before. Eat a dick again. It's organic, scumbag. Yes, I said it. I'm not being nice. I'm fucking done.
It's not about nice. It's just gross.
Because you're always a pillar of non-grossness.
I just want to hold down the protein bar I ate before the show, and you are seriously fucking with me right
if
now.
If I didn't risk you throwing up in our studio, I would go further.
Exactly.
But I am risking that, so I will not.
Right. Tread lightly, my friend.
So I can win the battle and lose the war.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, and he's another one. Right, like so. Again, when I'm talking about the deflection. So with this QAnon shaman guy, there was a lot of talk early on. Oh, he was at a Black Lives Matter protest. He's Antifa infiltrating. Like, okay, let's why don't we go?
Let's break down the video.
Let's go to the wide view, right? Because they show him. This is a Black Lives Matter Antifa protest. He's there. He's with them. Infiltrated this. This is Antifa. It's all Antifa's fault. Okay. Well, what about the pictures of him with Rudy Giuliani? And what about the pictures with him, you know, with other well-known MAGA Trump supporters? What about the fact that he was there as a counter-protester? And if you don't believe that, what about his own words and statements on Parler about where to go, where to be, where to meet, what to do, and why you're mad?
How about his lawyer saying you should pardon Trump?
Before the lawyer. Well, that's what I'm saying. Okay. Before the lawyer, right? Now sure. You've got his lawyer saying he was just doing what Trump said. And Trump should pardon him. Which I'm like, look, man, if Trump is pardoning anybody, it's probably himself. But I mean, maybe he will find time to pardon the QAnon shaman. And I can't even say it's out of the realm of possibility because with Trump, you never know.
True. But that would, I mean, it would be political suicide, but when you're killing nothing, what does it mean? Do we want to talk about whether or not Biden should pardon Trump?
Or we should? Sure, we can.
Okay.
He should not.
I think he should.
Have you lost your fucking
maybe
mind?
Maybe I have.
You better go Perry Mason right now.
I'm about to try. We'll see how it goes. All right. I think my feelings about Donald Trump are pretty well established. Yes?
Keep going.
If Biden were to step in and say, we need to heal as a country, we need to let this go, you're making a fist that you look like you're about to use. I think it would be the right thing for Biden to do, to say, look, we're going to move forward. Yes, this guy is worthy of all the shit he's got. And by the way, he doesn't escape other things, but I want us to move forward the same way that Nixon did it, or Ford did it for Nixon.
And you mean the same way that Lincoln did it for the Confederacy?
I didn't know.
How'd that work out?
Yeah, that worked out not great.
We walked it right into Reconstruction, and then Jim Crow.
We're cool, right?
And then segregation, and then the Civil Rights Movement, to the point where we're still dealing with it right now. See, here's the problem with your little theory of we need unity, right? Every time you motherfuckers, and I'm talking about white people in general, fuck up, right? It's, we need unity. We need unity. We need unity. I know we said some things that weren't very nice. And I know, you know, Jim Jordan is out there. Listen, we need unity now. I know I was saying things that were mean and inflammatory, but we need to come together. Right? We need to come together, bring it up. Fuck you. Every single time. That is the thing that everyone gets a pass. Right? Nixon, you fucked with the Constitution and you fucked with our democracy. But yeah, you know what? For unity's sake, we're going to give you a pass. Right, and so what happens now is that now that's the standard. We need it for unity, so we'll give Donald Trump a pass. Yeah, he invoked the fucking riot and got these people to basically try to tear down our democracy, but for unity's sake, he needs a pass. Fuck that. I told you last week why we can't do it. Because if those people who ran up on the Capitol were fucking Muslim, right, or Asian, right, or any version of non-white, the country that they came from would be gone. If those people were Iranian, Iran would no longer be on the fucking map. And you know what? I would be right there behind. Yeah, go ahead. I'll push the button for you. If those people were from fucking Brazil, we would no longer have the Amazon River. Because it would be fucking contaminated because we would have nuked the shit out of them. If those people were from anywhere, if those people were from fucking Harlem would be gone. Well, not anymore. Yeah, Harlem's been gentrified. But... you get what I'm saying?
I do. No, right? You know,
like,
what?
So if you attack us, you go, like, we go scorched earth on you every fucking time. They blew up, you know, however many boats at Pearl Harbor, and we literally eliminated two of their entire cities.
Yeah.
For 100 fucking years or longer, however long fucking radiation contamination lasts.
A long fucking time. All
right. At the end of the day, like, you, when you attack my democracy... an attempt to try to destabilize the thing that makes me who and what I am, I cannot give you a pass. And the problem is, we have continued to give people a pass. Because we gave the Confederacy a pass. We literally gave them a pass and then built the motherfucker statues. And then it came full circle a fucking year ago when Donald Trump is talking about we're gonna keep those up. And if you touch one of those statues, if you vandalize one of them, then you will go to jail for 10 years. And now look at where we're at right now. So pardon me when I clench my fist when you say we need to give him a pardon. He gets nothing. He should burn. He should burn for this. And you can't be soft. Because if you are soft, it will happen again. And every time it gets worse. With Nixon, it was bad, but we were able to get over it. This time it was this insurrection and we were able to push it down. What happens next time?
You know what? With Nixon, it was you cheated in an election and they gave him a pass. And you're right. You know what? Wow. I haven't gotten kicked in the teeth that hard without losing a tooth in a long fucking time. And that's not an insult to you. It's an insult to my argument.
I'll be like, are you fucking serious? I will knock your head off.
You know what, Steve? I honestly meant...
I know what you mean. I'm just fucking...
No, but it's... Oh, that's a really good counter-argument.
Because does it really bring unity?
You know what? No, it doesn't.
Right?
Fuck,
are the people?
Right.
Are the people? Right. Are the people on Parler?
I'm on the fucking rope. I'm covering up. I'm like, I want the referee who was there for Conor McGregor. He's like, okay, I'm getting hit. I'm not liking this. Just throwing the damn towel. Damn it! Fuck! You're not wrong. You know what? You just. This is why I love doing shows with you. We don't kiss each other's ass. We're not too. We're on the same side. Let's spew whatever. So, touche. You win. My thought was make things better. You're right. It probably wouldn't. And weirdly, I was never a Star Trek Next Generation guy, but there's the Captain Picard thing. The line must be drawn here. Like, yeah. We back up. No. Wow. Okay.
So that's a weird reference, but I love Star Trek Next Generation, okay. So I do. Anyway, so...
Whew.
Moving on to something that I think we both agree on, the NRA, the National Rifle Association, filed for bankruptcy today. Now,
I'm devastated.
Here's the thing. Unfortunately, it's not quite what you want it to be, right? It's a restructuring. They want to move out of New York. They want to move to Texas. And they want to be a nonprofit.
Okay. I want them to be a nonprofit, too.
I want you to make no money, bitch. So it's, I think there are a lot of people who are going to see this and kind of rejoice, but it's not like you're nowhere near the finish line when it comes to the NRA, you know, because the restructuring is something that's literally documents, the nonprofit thing, I don't think is a slam dunk for them. It's not easy for to get the IRS to approve you to be a nonprofit, and the IRS is probably not too friendly with the NRA, considering the way that they've been doing business for the last, I don't know, forever.
No, like, it's only been like 45 years.
Okay.
Because I'm sorry to, you know, jump in that, but if the NRA is currently what it was in the 60s and 70s, when it was literally a sportsman's organization,
fair.
And about, that's, you know, fair. Defending Second Amendment rights, and not a political scumbag organization run by a piece of shit like Wayne LaPierre. But
how long has Wayne LaPierre been there?
Since the 80s?
Yeah, so it'd probably be the last, like, 40 years.
34
right,
years.
Like, since I've been...
Since you've... Right.
Right, that's a long fucking time.
It is. It's, right? it's your lifetime, and it's right. Most of mine.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think that they're going to have a hard time making that transition into a nonprofit, and they're going to have to restructure in a way. And now listen, there are plenty of nonprofits that make billions of dollars.
Right.
Trust me. The NFL was a nonprofit organization.
The NCAA is a right. nonprofit
organization. I mean, the NFL is like probably one of the worst nonprofits of all.
Right. One of the best nonprofits of all.
Well, in terms of, you know, like violating what it is to be a nonprofit, to the point where the NFL said, all right, we're just going to say we're for profit. It doesn't matter. Like, we can pay the tax bill. Right. Like, it's just like we make $10 billion a year. I guess we could pay taxes. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be tricky for them to come back to the other side where the NFL said, we're a nonprofit. And then they're just like, all right, no, we're not. Where the NRA is going to say, we're a nonprofit. It's like, bullshit. I think they can get there, but it's going to be tough, and it's going to require them to make some very substantial changes to the organization at the top, which obviously is going to impact Wayne LaPierre directly and his ability to go fly and get $20,000 suits in California and fly back to New York. But this isn't exactly what people think it is in terms of this is the end of the NRA. I think we're getting there, but they still have a leg to stand on. I just don't know how soon that leg gets cut from underneath them.
Well, I've been anti-NRA for as long as we've known each other, even though I have been a member of that organization.
I remember one of the first shows we did up in your attic, you were going off on the NRA.
I was
looking at you insane, and you're like, why are you looking at me? Right? And we're in your attic, and you had all this NRA shit. Like, you had an NRA gun cleaning mat.
That was bought.
I understand, Jim, but you're sitting there telling me how you hate the NRA, and I'm like, that's weird. I'm pretty, like, you literally have a NRA card. I'm a member card right here. Anyway, just a funny memory.
All right. Memories. All right.
Can we switch to sports?
We can.
Let's do it.
We're over an hour. Let's do a quick sports thing. So Robert Saleh is the new head coach of the New York Jets.
Yes.
He is the first Muslim ever to be a head coach in the NFL. Mm-hmm. He's Lebanese, I believe.
He is Lebanese. He is the third Middle Eastern head coach that we've had. The first one, I can't remember, but the second one stands out because he was a former Jets head coach, Rich Kotite.
I didn't know he was Lebanese.
I don't know if he was Lebanese. I don't know his exact...
Oh, he was Middle Eastern, though?
Yeah, but he is...
He was also a really bad head coach.
Oh, God, he was awful. But he also didn't look like he would be a good head coach. And, like, you can't judge a book by its cover, but he didn't look the part, and he was bad at the part.
And he got hired at least twice, if not three times.
No, I think he got hired twice. I know
Jets
got,
and Eagles, I think? And we're going back.
Yeah, either way. I mean, because I was young.
Yeah. I was young. You were younger.
Yes, I was very young with him. I just remember his goofy look. He had those giant glasses. But yeah, I mean, this is something I think that a lot of people anticipated, not in terms of the Jets hiring Robert Saleh, but I think him getting a head coaching job. He was defensive coordinator with San Francisco 49ers. I believe he's 41 years old. And so relatively young guy in the coaching ranks, and it seems like the coaches are actually getting younger and younger that they're hiring, which is good to see. You are seeing more diversity in the hiring. I know that there were two black GMs hired over the course of this week, and I think that's a good sign for the NFL. What got us there? Is it the social justice movement? Is it the, you know, a lot of the stuff that was kind of started by Colin Kaepernick? I think that you can absolutely say it played a part in it. And the reality is that you've got a lot of really talented people in the world of football that are beyond the scope of, you know, they're the son of this former NFL coach, or they're the son of this former NCAA coach, or this guy's been around a long time, and we're going to recycle this coach for the third, fourth, fifth time. You're not seeing that anymore. You're seeing more people get first-time opportunities. The numbers are still heavily skewed towards, you know, white coaches that have connections to the league. Trying to get into the NFL is probably one of the hardest things. I would bet I could probably get into one of the top law firms in the country before I could get a job working in the NFL, and, you know, in a front office at a, you know, fucking low-level position. It's just, it is fueled by nepotism. It is fueled by, you know, who you know. It is not a merit-based system by any stretch of the imagination. And we've seen it just by the people that they produce, right, as coaches. Like, some of these people are fucking terrible.
For example, the guy that Robert Saleh is replacing,
right, like Adam Gase
was a disaster, and he got rehired, and he showed up to his press conference announcing his hiring looking like he was wired on crack.
Right. You know, I mean, like, that's, you know, that's a perfect example of a guy who was recycled, who shouldn't have been. He didn't do anything in Miami. He got a lot of pump from what he did with Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning was, you know, a coach on the field, right, and somehow Adam Gase got credit for it. I think because Peyton Manning was nice enough, oh, yeah, it was totally Adam Gase. Like, okay. And then they gave this guy two head coaching jobs because of it, and, you know, he hurt, you know, crushed two franchises. And you see that a lot with these coaches. And look, they're hard jobs. Yeah, it's a game, but it's a hard fucking game. And these jobs are very hard. They involve a lot. And so there's going to be a relatively high failure rate. But it's good that they're opening the door not only to different coaches. We've got our first Muslim coach, but, you know, like I said, different positions, general managers, things like that. And so there's, you know, there's going to be a hard argument now. I mean, because I think we see Robert Saleh here. I believe there was another black head coach that was hired. So one issue that you're going to have, right? Like, there's one guy that we talked about last year around this time, Eric Bieniemy, who a lot of people are saying, you know, should be, you know, considered for a job. I'm not sure he's going to get one, you know, this go around either, right? Part of that is because his team is. You know, still in the playoffs, they're still playing. And, you know, the jobs are closing up pretty quick. The only two that are open as of right now, I believe, are Philadelphia and San Diego.
Los Angeles, not to be a dick.
Oh, yeah, Philadelphia, and the Eagles and the Chargers. And it's 100%, 100% meant to be a dick. But it seems like the Chargers job, you and I were talking earlier, is probably going to Brian Daboll based off of his connection with the new general manager there. You know, I think Philly is a wild card, so we'll kind of see how that all plays out. But I think these are all positive things for the NFL. It's good to see, you know, you get some new blood in there, and it'll be a good thing. You get fans hopefully back in the stadiums next year, and we'll see where it goes. Best of luck to him. He's not in my division, so I don't really have to worry about him all that much. He is in your division, so we'll see how that you know, he's a good defensive coordinator. I mean, San Francisco defense has been pretty good, and even with injuries, they managed to be competitive. So it'll be interesting to see what he's able to do.
Well, he is in what I believe to be one of the worst-run organizations in professional sports in the New York Jets.
Yeah, but they said that about the Saints before Peyton got there, and they said that about the Patriots before Belichick got there.
A coach can turn things around. I obviously won't be rooting for him because he does play against my team. Sure. But it's you know, it's a first. I always like firsts. You know, again, I can't cheer for the Jets. Or
there's no reason to cheer. I mean, I think, you know, a guy like that, you hope that he's successful. You know, it's one of those things. Like,
I hope he finishes second in the division. Yeah, that's every year.
I mean, it's, you know, I got a close friend who for a long time worked for the Cleveland Browns, and you know, he's actually my daughter's godfather. And you know, the agreement while he worked for him was like, look, I'll cheer for the Browns to go 14-2 as long as you work for them. You know, I just need those two losses to beat the Steelers.
Sure.
Which that's a whole other sore topic that I'm emotionally not ready to have.
We're an hour and 10 in. Do you want to just cut it off now?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. Do we want to do playoff predictions or for the next season? Nah, fuck it. We've been through enough. We put you through enough. Thank you for listening. We are at Whiskey Congress on social media, Instagram, Twitter, and Parler.
No one was injured in the recording of this episode.
No one was injured in the recording of this episode, although it was closer than normal. Thanks for listening. We are done.